So, it's great to be here talking about data. As my colleague Karen Kalk said in the last session, you know, how many of you do data, all that kind of stuff, because usually people go, oh my God, they're going to talk about data. I promise to make it interesting, and in fact, what I'm talking about is communication. And one of the biggest issues when we think about communication in integration usually comes down to that barrier HIPAA, that barrier 42 CFR. And I have a joke. I'm not going to talk about HIPAA today, but I wanted to tell the joke because I think it's really great. So knock, knock.
There.
Can't tell you. So that's how, we also call it hypochondria. So I want to start with the solution here. You've gotten the sense that we're all about integration, and in a lot of ways that's really, you know, that does seem to be at least the solution for now. The best that we're doing. It's bringing the cylinders of excellence, the silos of excellence together, talking to each other, creating a sustainable solution for that level of communication that can support person-centered care. And in that context, we're talking about transforming relationships from the standard medical model into, you know, other frameworks. And it really, in order to meet people where they are and in order for this to be person-centered, it really does need to acknowledge that you need multiple systems talking to each other. Part of the message that I want to give today is that the ACA is this amazing thing. I forget what Jen said about it. I wrote it down. She said that we're benefiting from the federal level changes, and that's definitely true. But there are huge assumptions with these federal level changes. I talk about it sometimes with workforce. There are all these assumptions about workforce, and today I'm going to talk about it in terms of the assumptions that are made about data infrastructure. It's like the triple aim is going to magically happen because we're all going to use data, we're all going to collect data, and it's just going to work. And there's been, over the past several years, a lot of investment on the primary care side, but behavioral health is in a world of hurt. To the extent that behavioral health providers actually use electronic records, I won't say that they've been sold up the river in terms of the investments that they've made with their EHRs, but I will say that. Because these systems are terrible. They're terrible, they're inflexible, they're these legacy systems where, you know, counties have invested enormous amounts of money, and, you know, we're kind of stuck with them. So that's part of the challenge. And in moving forward, we have to acknowledge that and we need to do something about it. And so that's part of what I'm going to talk about later in the presentation. But I just wanted to really emphasize the point that all this work around the collaboratives is predicated on data, and it's predicated on being able to collect data. And if you paid attention to any of those outcomes, they're not collected in EHRs, because EHRs are designed for billing. I'm basically making this argument that, you know, we have these new models of care that are being advanced. And, you know, there's the call for the improved population management. There's the assumption that I just was talking about that, you know, people are going to use HIT and do the tracking. But really, on another level, what we're talking about is shifting from the culture of collecting data for compliance to collecting data for accountability. And that's a huge issue because right now, if you talk to any behavioral health providers and also medical providers, what you hear is, gosh, we have to collect so much data. And they do, they collect a lot. And then it's like the Roach Motel, because they report it and then nobody looks at it. I have colleagues here from HSRI who are doing a project in Minnesota, and it's the saddest thing. We got so excited because we thought, oh my gosh, we can get functional level and all these different things. And what we found is that the data are just, the care managers are wonderful people, they're doing their jobs, and nobody does anything with the data. And the data actually don't change when you look at them. So it's shifting from compliance to accountability. This isn't this slide that you stole. Okay. So that's good. So there are three critical areas to ensure effective measurement in integration. That includes infrastructure and capacity to collect data within systems and settings. So that's within a clinic, within an agency. But then the next piece is the infrastructure and capacity to link and share data across systems. We're talking cross-sector communication, collaboration, because people are touching different systems. the cylinders. And then having the expertise and the capacity to analyze and use data in a meaningful way. That's for payers, administrators, providers, and clients. I think that Karen Falk said it in the earlier session very well when she said, everybody, if you don't care about data now, everybody should. Because regardless of the position that you hold in healthcare, you should be interested in data. A couple of years ago, as part of the Cal Mesa Integrated Behavioral Health Project, we collaborated with CIMH at the time, it's CIBHS now, which my colleagues, to basically take a look at the current status of clinical information systems in California, and we also looked nationally. And the idea was to really begin to isolate out what do you need to collect? At a minimum, what ideally would a high-functioning system collect? And we came up with this list of 10. It's pretty ambitious. I don't even know if there's a system that does all of this. But we did an expert panel, and we also interviewed lots of people, and this is the list that we came up with. So really now it's kind of an ideal type that we put out there. And, you know, you can look at that and you can say, wow, an EHR is not going to do that. I mean, there are people who have invested a lot of money to manipulate EHRs to, you know, get the crystal reports to do magical things, but it's still really limited. And some of these systems will have clinical prompts and flags or things like that. But as you can see here, the focus of the functionality is really to support clinical care and also to support quality improvement, but also evaluation. Because, you know, we want to be looking at all of these things together and actually more. So here's my example. California has had some really great opportunities with funding that the state has given, recognizing that there's a world of hurt on the behavioral health side. So the idea was that the larger counties, in a lot of ways, have been able to make investments and transform their systems and that kind of thing. But the small counties, really, you know, they don't have a lot of extra money. They've invested in their legacy systems, and they're going nowhere very quickly. So CIBHS, through their contract with the state, started working with eCenter in Canada to develop eBHS, which is the behavioral health web-based behavioral health system that you all heard about earlier. You've heard about it. Jen was referring to it. Karen was referring to it. There are registry components in it. But it also is a very promising and inexpensive way to start extracting data from EHRs to be able to use it for evaluation and to be able to use it for quality improvement. So that's what we did. We basically started this project where we recognized that the small counties have unique needs. They lack the resources and they don't have the personnel. I mean, if you go to the small counties, people are wearing multiple caps. You know, it's pretty tough. And what's interesting is that the culture is such that there's usually one person who's the magic data person. And so any questions that come to the county, whether they're from, you know, county council or the state, this one magical person's going to spend time manipulating the system to try to answer the questions. So the goal was really, like I said, to develop this web-based solution that would be inexpensive and then to provide some technical assistance to the counties around that. What I think is important here, and a huge lesson learned, is that CIBHS didn't just create the system, and, you know, they didn't make it and assume that people would come. What they did was they collaborated with the counties. They said, what do you need? Sat down and said, you know, what are your desired system functions? Kind of starting with that list that I showed you before, but also really listening and saying, you know, do you have other problems? And what they came up with was the need for a flexible, real-time reporting and querying system to support individual clients, the population, and then also to improve, to focus on system improvement and outcome tracking. And part of that is because they don't have data analysts. You know, the big counties, you know, usually have like a whole team of data analysts. And so the task here was to really think about this in terms of, can you collect data and then have a system where you can essentially push a button and get get data out, whether it's on a single client or on a population, on a cohort, you know, all those types of things. So the focus here was on data capture, storage, and then uploading from existing EHRs because they don't want to have to do double data entry, analysis, and then doing querying and reporting. And the platform, as I mentioned, you know, was designed that way. They selected two measures, the PHQ-9 and the GAD-7, and they started using it. And I'm not going to go into the registry piece, but you've heard about that before. But the thing that I think is really remarkable about this system is that within a month, the counties were using, they were doing the measurement. And this was not just, you know, one social worker or one, you know, case manager. It was basically across, you know, their staffing. And the feedback that we got was very positive. What I don't have on this slide is actually what we heard about the clients themselves. Because a lot of times what you hear is, oh my gosh, I can't possibly use the computer system in front of my clients because they will get so upset. Well, in these cases, and this was basically three different counties, they were not only collecting data in front of the clients, they were pushing the button and showing the clients how they were doing. So they were doing a measurement at each time. And then what they found was that the clients were, they started asking when they come in, so are you gonna test me again? Do I get to see my graph? Because that was the other piece of it. The output is very easy to understand. I unfortunately don't have a slide of it, but we basically have, you know, the benchmarks, the clinical benchmarks that are in there, that what you would expect. And so the cut points are in there, and you're either green or you're red. And it's pretty cool. So, you know, anybody at a glance can look at it. Individual client, a whole, you know, caseload. The county can actually look across and say, you know, is one clinic doing things differently than other clinics? I mean, in terms of outcomes. So it's very flexible. And one of the things that the counties also said in their feedback was that this is the first time that they could really see how this was, they could build it into their workflow such that intellectually, but also in an engagement way with the staff, they understood that what it's like to collect data systematically, to not do it differently. It was a really easy system to just, you know, enter the data into, and they're, you know, they weren't taking little notes, and then, you know, some people poured it all and entered it at the end of the month, and, you know, different things like that. It was really, you know, it really facilitated more of a real-time engagement with that. And so just to close this up, I want to talk about, you know, I want to go back to kind of that bigger picture and some of the lessons learned through this project, but then also what we're, you know, what we're kind of learning through these different collaboratives and, you know, just working with data and this culture, changing the culture from compliance to accountability. It does take investment in infrastructure. And, you know, this is what I've described today cavalierly, kind of. I mean, I can't tell you exactly how much it's cost. It's been relatively reasonable. We're not to scale. I mean, there are 58 counties in California. Only three counties were using it for the data collection that I just described. There are probably 15 or so that are using it for the collaboratives. So, you know, there's still a lot of work to do. But the piece that I think is really important is that we really did learn that developers need to sit down with the users. It sounds so, you know, intuitive and so obvious, but that's not the way that it's done. You know, there are very few developers that have a behavioral health background or have ever, you know, done patient care or anything like that, and it makes a huge difference. And then it also takes having engaged providers and consumers, because the hook for these counties really came from the providers saying, wow, this is pretty easy to use. I mean, it's literally one of those things where they can hover over the icon and it tells them what it is, and it really is one-click processing. So it was developing a system that truly was easy to use, but also intuitive. And then that piece that I described with the consumers, where they get engaged in knowing, hey, I think I really like to see that I'm getting better on my depression score, or, oh, look, I had a blip here, I wonder what happened. And, you know, it can actually be part of the therapeutic process to be engaged in that kind of exchange. It also takes a lot of training, but training's not enough. Pouring dollars into training won't be the solution, because you really have to have a scenario where people are actually using the systems and using the data. And then finally, back to my HIPAA piece, we really do need to have some uniform guidance from the federal level and also in states to have, I mean, right now there are 58 different interpretations of HIPAA restrictions or, you know, what it is in California, and you can only imagine what that looks like nationally. And then 42 CFR is a huge issue. That is something at the federal level, but it really does affect the capacity to share substance use data. So with that, I'll close. Thank you.